Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Who needs wound care and why? The answer just might surprise you. Let's go in-depth with Rachel Davis, wound care specialist with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics.
So Rachel, where are you from?
From Knoxville.
From Knoxville, grew up here?
No, originally from Centerville.
Originally from Centerville. Mm-hmm. All right, and you are a nurse.
Correct, an RN.
And what got you interested in nursing?
My mom's a nurse, so it was just kind of the path I decided to follow once I'd worked at a factory and it closed.
Well, Yeah, so that seems, going to healthcare, you knew all about it, probably your mom teaching you, watching your mom enjoy her career.
Yes.
And you chose wound care as your specialty.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Whenever I was, I've been here for 10 years, and I was the care coordinator for the inpatients, and since I was here Monday through Friday, I took care of a lot of the skin issues and what's called a wound vac, and those are changed every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Since I wouldn't be there those days, it was the obvious choice to have me change those. So then I started seeing the progress that those made with the wounds, and then I just got more and more interested, and the opportunity came up to continue my education in wound care and be certified, and then it just kind of evolved from there.
Wow, it's interesting those paths life takes, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, it's your scheduling that took you that direction at
the
time.
Yes.
It was an opportunity. You saw an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there a technical definition of a wound?
I treat mostly chronic wounds, which means that they've been there 3 weeks or more without any obvious signs of healing. A lot of these are diabetic wounds, patients that have poor circulation, elderly patients that have thinner skin. They get a lot of skin tears. Those typically don't heal very well right off the bat, especially if their nutrition isn't optimal. And surgical wounds that just
Don't heal correctly,
yeah.
Does that happen very often, surgical wounds that don't heal very quickly?
Surgically, not really often. Sometimes if it's a large abdominal wound, and if the patient's larger, sometimes that doesn't like to hold together very well, so sometimes those will open up. Also, there's other times whenever there's infection, if there's like infection in the abdominal cavity, they'll leave it open to heal from the inside out so that infection can be pulled out. A lot of times those will have that wound vac that I was talking about.
And what does that do? How does that work?
It's an occlusive dressing that you put over the wound, and it's attached to a little vacuum container with a little motor on it, and it sucks any of the contaminants out. It has a collection container for the drainage, and it also pulls blood flow to the area to speed up healing, so it pulls those cells. So it does a lot of different things just in one little machine. It's pretty amazing.
It keeps the contaminants out, and it helps the healing process.
Yes.
It's a little machine. It's amazing.
Yes, it's just the size of like a small purse. You know, people carry them around and go to the grocery store and probably don't even know they have one.
We don't know that they have a wound significant enough that they need treatment.
They, like the people around them, wouldn't even know that they had this vac that's attached to a wound, probably. It's just a small little device.
And so are those, as you said, mainly for older patients or?
The wound vacs are for pretty much any age. I use those from young people to the older. A lot of surgicals get those. So, you know, I've had people in their 20s have a wound vac.
So sometimes it's just a normal healing process.
Yep.
That we would need that.
Mm-hmm. I try to use it on as many people as I can just because it speeds up healing probably about 3 times faster than traditional just dressings.
So I might have it if I have a knee surgery, I might have one?
Chances are no, because you would probably have a closed incision. But if that knee would ever happen to get infected, I have had one that the knee was infected, so they had to take the prosthesis out, we put a wound vac on it, without any prosthesis in it, in the knee. And then they went in later after that infection was gone and had it replaced again.
And so it has a little motor?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I could be walking down the street and this little thing humming. People going to, they're going to think that guy's motorized.
Most of the time it makes no noise.
No noise.
Yep. If you put it on right, there should be no noise.
I don't sound optimal. Like a cyborg or something.
No. Sometimes when, like with diabetics, if we put them on the foot, it's hard to get a good seal because you have to have it completely sealed, or otherwise it'll alarm because there's a break in the seal. And but you know, your feet are sweaty. Diabetics' feet typically are even more sweaty and dry, or you know, something is usually wrong with their skin. And that tends to come off a lot.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Rachel Davis, wound care specialist with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Like with a diabetic person, it could be a tear, and then it just doesn't heal. It gets worse and worse. Mm-hmm.
So, the skin tears typically don't have a wound vac. Those are something that you just have to treat depending on how much drainage they have. There's different dressings for each level of drainage, and yeah, there's a whole slew of options depending on what the wound looks like.
All right, and I bet there are people listening that have a wound that could that are probably walking around thinking, "I wish that thing would heal," but I, you know, it's just a little bit of an open wound. I keep a bandage on it, and they're not coming in and talking to you, and they should.
Exactly, and I've had, I think, three different people. One had a wound for over 2 years, and they had just, well, I just figured there's nothing we can do about it, so we just keep putting some gauze on it. And within about 3 months, it was completely healed, and I haven't seen him back. So,
and you put the wound back on there, or regular treatment?
This one was just a regular treatment. It was just that the wound had been that way for so long. The body had just thought that it was done healing, and it didn't even try anymore. Just with a little stimulation to the wound bed, it picked up healing and just finally healed.
Stimulation to the wound bed, you mean poking at it?
Yeah, sometimes.
All right, so you get the body to think it needs to start some more work there.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times people will think they have a scab, and sometimes that's actually a necrotic tissue. It's black and it's hard, but it's actually dead tissue that you need to get out of the wound for the wound to heal. And, you know, somebody might have a little scratch and have a scab, but if you have a large wound and it's scabbed, that's not usually a good thing. It's not usually a scab. That's actually dead tissue, and if you leave it on there, that's breeding ground for bacteria, and you're going to end up with an infection under it, you know, massive trauma to the tissues around it, and it can cause, you know, gangrene or, you know, a worsening infection than could originally start out with.
Now, how do you distinguish that kind of a wound from something that might be a skin cancer?
Usually a skin cancer doesn't have, it's not open. I mean, you can tell a skin cancer is usually raised. I don't deal a lot with the skin cancers. Most of the time they go to their dermatologist or to their family physician for the skin cancers. The physician actually will see the patient, so you'd need to make an appointment with your family physician, and then they refer those to me once they've seen them, and they want me to follow that patient and take care of the wound.
All right, but a lot of times it's dealt with by somebody else.
Yes.
How about the terrible things that happen, like during car wrecks? Do you deal with those kinds of wounds?
I have a few of them, yep. Most of the time they're in Des Moines. If there's something massive, you know, and the wound nurses up there take care of them, a lot of times they don't end up with me, but I've had several, a couple wound vacs on those too, because sometimes there's just not enough skin left to cover the entire wound, so you've got the open, sometimes pretty deep wounds that you put a vac on, and then a lot of times send them back to a plastic surgeon to have skin grafting done. But that wound bed, or that wound vac will get the wound bed ready for that grafting, so that there's a lot of blood flow to the area, and the skin graft will take better.
Because we don't grow new skin that way, do we?
Right.
Okay, so the graft would be necessary.
Mm-hmm. Well, they could heal on their own sometimes, but it would be a very, very long process. And the longer you keep that wound open, the more chance for bacteria and infection to set in. So, you know, if you're fairly healthy and a skin graft is an option, it would probably be best to do the grafting.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Rachel Davis, wound care specialist with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics.
Would you say the majority of your patients are diabetic patients or just elderly? Or what's the majority?
Usually my patients are over 40. I do have some that are, you know, 20s and 30s, but those are usually traumatic type things. But yes, I have a lot of diabetics and a lot of patients with venous insufficiency, which is just poor circulation to the legs, which causes ulcers on the legs. Venous insufficiency.
Not enough venous? Veins.
Veins, the blood flow back to the heart. You know, if you have some discoloration, like a purplish-brown discoloration in the lower legs, that's an indication. Or varicose veins, that's another indication that you have some venous insufficiency. And you're at risk for ulcers.
I saw a lady with purplish-brownish legs the other day. Mm-hmm. She needs to get in here.
Yes. I'm usually at the grocery store checking out people's legs thinking, oh, if I could just give them a card and just let them know.
So you can really, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look like it feels good. It looks like
right.
They've got some real big trouble coming down their path.
And they can, and they will. It's just a matter of time before you know, the edema in their legs gets so severe that they end up with ulcers on their legs.
And then you'll see them no matter what.
Yeah, and then I'll end up seeing them, but it would be nice to prevent it from the get-go. We do that with, we'll do a compression wrap for a couple weeks to get all the swelling out, and then I measure them for compression stockings, which then they can purchase on their own and wear daily.
They don't look good with sandals, though.
No, they don't look good with sandals, but I'll tell you what, they look better than ulcers on your legs.
Yeah, okay, good. So it's just best to deal with it.
Yep. It's better to prevent the problem. They're very hard to heal.
I have a male acquaintance, too, that has that. Mm-hmm. But we just can't walk up to him and say, hey, you know, you need to go to the doctor.
I'll give you a card later.
Just pass it out. But they should. You don't. Maybe they already are, and mm-hmm. we just don't know it. Mm-hmm. And so we just, if they're in our family, we might want to mention it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes with our family, it sort of is our business, mm-hmm. huh?
Yeah. Yeah. But anybody that thinks that maybe they have a problem, could definitely see their doctor, and I would be more than happy to see them.
Because their doctor will make the referral then?
Correct.
Okay, so no one just checks in to see you about that?
No, I have to have a physician's order to begin treatment. So, but there is one service that I do offer. It's I just became foot and nail care certified. So every 60 days, most insurance companies, including Medicare, offer foot and nail care exams for patients that are diabetic. And patients that have circulation problems that aren't able to, you know, clip their own toenails, they can come in and I will assess their feet and their legs just to make sure that there's not any pressure points which could cause an ulceration later, and trim up their nails and just look in between their toes, check their sensation in their feet to see if they're getting neuropathy. And it's, you know, if it's covered every 60 days, it's, you know, it's a good thing to get in here before problems start and prevent them from causing an ulcer in the future.
Neuropathy, what's that?
That is a nervous system. It's the sensation in their feet is gone. They'll have, like, burning sensations, but they can't feel, like, if they stepped on something. They can't feel it.
At all?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all. There are some patients that cannot feel their feet at all. So that's why they're very, like, there's diabetic shoes that they have custom made. That way, whenever they're walking, there's no pressure points because they can't feel whenever they're getting a sore until it's too late. And they also encourage diabetics to inspect their feet with a mirror, you know, daily, just because you can't, they cannot feel their feet.
And next thing you know, they've got an open wound and they're seeing you.
Yep.
Boy, it's interesting. I'd never thought about the relationship between those skin conditions ultimately leading to an open wound. Mm-hmm. But they do, don't they? Mm-hmm. That's what you're just telling us.
Yep.
And that's common.
Yes. You know, 75% of all amputations are because of diabetes. And probably a foot ulcer that if they would have treated it at the get-go or, you know, came in for foot and nail care exams, had preventative maintenance done, they probably could have avoided an amputation. They say 50% of all amputations are avoidable with the right treatment.
And so what you're saying is anybody with these open wounds, anybody that's diabetic is probably mm-hmm. seeing a doctor, but anybody mm-hmm. with just foot swelling, lower leg swelling, mm-hmm. some purpling, mm-hmm. they need to go to the doctor.
Yep.
Or they could lose a leg.
Absolutely.
Well, it seems like a pretty good reason to go into.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
It'd be nice to keep one's legs.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
not
it's
lose
pretty
an
important.
Unnecessary. Yeah. Wow. Wow. All right. Well, this must be very rewarding work then.
It is. It is. And like I've said before, I have really, really busy times, and then it just seems like I don't have any patients, but then I have to remember that's because I've done my job and they're healed, and I just have to wait for the next round of people to realize that they need to have some wound care. But yeah, it is. It's neat. Every week I do measurements, so every week I get to see on paper and, you know, with my own eyes how much it's healed in a week. It's pretty cool.
Thanks to Rachel Davis for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.